Reading from James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 25th, 2021. Happy Friday, Pastor Jason.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, I guess we have to get that out because I know a number of things that you've been doing, the weight that you carry as a pastor with hospital visits, with praying over people, with helping people wrestling with life disappointments or anguish or health issues and just the world that we live in with repercussions of COVID and unemployment and uncertainty and just the fears that people talk about each and every day and media spin or questions about this. I mean, it's kind of crazy times. And then I always have to default with what Janet Parshall has to say, and you've referenced many times also, that in a sense, these are really exciting times because light and darkness is ever evident. I mean, the extremes that we have hope and we have a message, the good news message of Jesus to bring healing to these hurting societal issues. And we do have an answer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's an eternal hope. And so as discouraged as people can be, and we all know people, and even ourselves at times can be down, we do cling to a greater hope, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and that we have an eternity to look forward to, even during times of uncertainty and heartache and the things that we have to go through in this fallen world. So it's kind of that balance. Yeah, it's a hard life oftentimes, and yet, thank you, God, that you've created us to live in this world, to be healing agents, to be disciples of Jesus, to be your ambassadors so that we can bring that good news message during troubled times. So we're going to be looking at a passage in James today that talks about today or tomorrow we're going to do this or that. But yet, as you have prayed, I have prayed, Lord, for this day, order my steps. Help me be in the center of your will. Let me be an agent of your healing touch or a kind word or an example. Allow us to live this day for your glory and for your purposes. And so we all, everyone tuned in today, has a plan and purpose that God is orchestrating, allowing you to exist in, because you have meaning, you have influence, you can affect maybe somebody's eternal destiny by something you say or how you refer to God or an example that you live out in your everyday life. So I guess all to say, we live in exciting times. We have to remember that. God is good, and we're alive today, so he hasn't brought us home yet, so there must be a reason or a purpose for our lives. How about that for a setup?
Hey, that was pretty good. So we could just amen and take the offering, and we could just go forward. James says in this passage some really fascinating things that I think we have to keep in mind. And really, remember, I always tell people, context is king. In fact, it was kind of funny. I was looking at Facebook the other day, and somebody from our church was talking about a totally unrelated issue. It wasn't even a biblical issue. It was the issue of quoting a book. And the person said, well, what does the whole book say? Because context is king. And we have to remember, and that's true, context is king. And in the context of James, you know, thus far, the first four chapters of James that we've been reading together and studying over these last month, James always wants our faith to move to action. You know, James says faith without works is dead. You know, if what you believe and what you say and how you live doesn't spill over into all the places that you are, then what is the point of it? You know, it's easy to talk about humility. It's easy to think about humility. It's easy to read about humility, but it's really not easy to be humble. And so James wants us to understand that we can't kind of live our Christianity at a distance. We can't be the followers of Jesus at a distance where we just think about things, we just meditate upon them, we just know about them, but these things need to spill over into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, again, James, we've talked about over these past months, is in his gentle correction. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, when you're correcting people, do it with all gentleness. And if you notice, James is very gentle. He calls them brothers. He says, come on, brothers. And even here he says, come now, you who say. He doesn't say, oh, you idiots.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come now, you who say. He's inviting people into difficult conversations. He's not condemning them. He's not shaming them. He's inviting them into difficult conversations. I think even in those first five words of verse 13, we can learn a lot about what it means to address people that we disagree with, to be able to talk to them, to be able to invite them into a conversation. Come now, you who say. And he says, come now, you who say. Today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade there and make a profit. So it's really interesting. James is talking to all kinds of people here. It's really a broad statement that he makes. He says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow, well, that's all of us, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of us at some point or another are saying, well, today I'm going to do this and tomorrow I'm going to do this. But then he says, you know, those who go into such and such a town. So he says, listen, those who are traveling, those who say today or tomorrow, that's all of us. Those who say, I'm going to go travel, that's some of us. That's another group of people. Those who said, I'm going to spend a year there, that's another group of people. Those who say, I'm going to go make a profit or trade or do business. So James is talking to everyday people. He's talking to businessmen. He's talking to people who are running errands. He's talking to people who are taking a day trip, maybe a little vacation. Who knows? But he's talking to a wide swath of people. He's talking to everyone.
Hmm.
He's inviting these people to come in to have a conversation, not just about a certain group of people, but about everyone. And he says, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend. By the way, I love he says such and such because that could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Such and such a town. And spend a year there or trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow brings. And so I divided these verses that we're looking at up into three things, and I call it the mouth, the mist, and the mind of Christ. And so the first is the mouth. With our mouths, we say, we're going to go do this, and we're going to go do that, and we're going to do this, and tomorrow I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to accomplish that, and I'm going to make that happen. And yet, James comes in 14, and he makes a correction, and he says, yet you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you know what tomorrow's going to bring? I mean, I have to think that when he says, yet you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, his audience leans in and goes, wait, what does he mean? What does he mean we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring? And he says, what is your life? Now, that's a question, isn't it? What is your life? Because all of us ask that question at different points. Now, we might not say, what is our life? But we would say, why am I here?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to be doing? What am I to accomplish? Am I accomplishing what I'm supposed to be doing? See, this question, what is your life, is a deep question. It's a profound question. It's a question not only of identity, but it's a question of legacy. It's a question that really encapsulates a lot of our lives. What is our life? And really, out of that, what are we doing with our life? And so James says, listen, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You can make all the plans you want in the world. By the way, the Bible says in other places that man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, listen, you can make all the plans you want to make, but you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And really, how many of us have planned a trip and the car broke down? How many of us have planned an outdoor event and it rains? How many of us have made plans, but then somehow those plans have gotten derailed? I think that's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
At some point or another, we've made plans for tomorrow, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, and then have had to course correct, had to make some changes. And James says, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? He says, what is the total sum important thing in your life? What is that going to be? And he says, you're just a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. And this is really an interesting thing that he says, because what James wants to say to us is he says, consider the fragility of human life, and not only the fragility of human life, but the fragility of our planning. And again, you know, we could make all the plans, and we've done it. Boy, we've planned a camping trip and packed the car and put the tent in there and done all that stuff, got to the campsite, and it starts raining.
Hmm.
And planned for everything but that. And those kinds of things happen. And so James says, listen, will you consider the fragility of human life? And in addition to that, that we only live and move and breathe and find our joy at the permission of God. That God is the one who not only authors, but he orchestrates our lives, right? Man makes his plans, but what? The Lord orders his steps. So we can plan to put my, I can plan to put my feet here, there, or there, but ultimately the Lord is going to be the one who's going to order my steps. And James wants us to understand that because he wants our lives, the actions of our lives. Remember, he's all about faith spilling out into action. He wants the actions of our life to reflect a right view of God. And the right view of God understands that we don't know as much as we think we know. We can make all the plans we want in the world, but we're making our plans with blinders on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what the future holds. Only God knows what the future holds. That's why I think Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if you want to know what's right, if you want to know what the next right step is, it's going to be seeking first the kingdom of God. And yet, sadly, you know, with the 2.1 billion Google hits every day, we seek first the kingdom of Google. We seek first our own things. How many times have you, the listener, phoned a friend to ask advice before you sought the kingdom of God? Because that's what we do. That's what James is correcting. You make all kinds of plans, but the problem is you haven't sought God first.
You know, it's funny, Jason, you say, but seek first the kingdom. I turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 is, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But I was actually looking for the next verse, 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I was thinking of this passage here in James about you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And it's kind of that tomorrow mindset about worrying about tomorrow or trying to plan for tomorrow. And James is saying, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it reminded me of this passage in Matthew. And then you pointed out verse 33, which is right before 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have that tendency.
We do have that tendency. And here's the other thing. Is that we have a tendency to worry about tomorrow, to plan for tomorrow, to think about tomorrow, to put all our eggs in the basket of tomorrow and forget about today.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the cost of today. You know, when James says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He says, you're a mist and a vapor. And when he says that, he wants us to keep in mind that we have no firm substance on this earth, that we're fragile, and that we have no durability. That we're only here for a little while, that our time is short, that our lives are short, and that we need to keep that in mind today. Because if I think today, I don't know how much time I got. I got a short life. Then you are going to do what matters most today.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to monkey around. When people find out that they have a short amount of time, when the doctor comes in and he says, listen, you have 6 months to live, people don't squander those 6 months. They begin to do all the things that they said they were going to do that they never did. They begin to do all kinds of things that they never thought they could do because they were always pushing those things off, too busy worrying about things.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, things become very clear when you say you don't have a lot of time. You know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were saying, we should worry about this, and we should worry about this, and we should worry about this. And I said, listen, I don't know how much time I have on this earth. My time is short, so I've got to use my time where it matters most. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was around discipling my children in my home and saying, listen, I could do all kinds of things, but that's not my plan A. My plan A, the most important thing I can do is discipling and raising up and loving my kids in my home so that when I'm gone, they can carry on the mission.
Mm-hmm.
They can carry on doing the things that we're called to do. And so we have to be careful. James is trying to say, listen, you don't know how much time you have. And this isn't like a fatalistic statement where James is trying to make everybody go like, oh, gosh, James, this isn't very encouraging. I mean, what, are you going to die tomorrow? Oh, sheesh. No, James is trying to say, listen, you need to have a right perspective of your life. And that really, that's the biblical perspective. The greatest people in the Bible die in one verse, and the story continues.
Hmm.
David went on to be with his fathers, and then the story continues. we don't spend hundreds of verses going extolling the beauties and wonders of David, a man after God's own heart. No, David dies in one verse and is gone. And the story continues. And listen, whether we like it or not, that's going to be our story too. Jason went to rest with his fathers, and the story continues. Now here is the story of the sons of Jason. And so what are we going to do today that matters most? When we keep in mind a right view of God, that, listen, I am but a mist and a vapor. My time is short. I don't know how much time I have. Now James says, here's what you should do, right? He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The boasting he's talking about, the arrogance that he's talking about, is believing that you can plan all of these things because you believe you're going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that you have some sort of prominence in life, that life itself is not going to move as it should, that you somehow can escape the inevitability of life. I mean, what is the only two things we can be sure of? Death and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so James is saying here, listen, the only reason that you're here is because the Lord wills it. And we will live and do this or that. The only reason you get to say that is because of the Lord. And so will you do that with the Lord in mind? Will you make your plans with the Lord in mind? Will you seek first the kingdom of God? Will you today live as though the Lord is powerfully present in your life, that he is at the forefront of all of your thoughts, and that he is guiding and leading you through today?
Hmm.
And really, James then amps it up, because he ends in verse 17 by saying, so whoever, which is everybody he's talking to, mm-hmm. whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. So what James is saying is, James is saying that it's easy to talk about doing something. It's easy to think about doing something. It's easy to go to a Bible study where you spend a lot of time studying about doing something. But it's much harder, as I told you earlier, I use the example of humility, it's much harder to do something. It's much harder to take your faith and move it to action. But James is saying, listen, if you know something, you're accountable to that.
Mm-hmm.
You're accountable to that knowledge. If you say you know something, if you know something, then you're accountable to that. And if you don't do it, then that is what causes you to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's right. And James is speaking to a people who know that the only thing that they should be doing is seeking and following Jesus. That's what they should be doing. And yet he sees them going, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. It's almost like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And James goes, did you pray about that?
Hmm.
No, I mean, why do I have to pray, man? I got a map right here. Why do I have to, I know what to do. And James goes, no, wait a second. Don't you understand? You might not even make it to that trip. You don't know. Don't you think you ought to talk to the Lord about that? Don't you think you should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? Why are you so worried about tomorrow? Why not today do you make it your mission to follow Jesus? And then he says, listen, because if you know that and you don't do that, brother, you are going to trip yourself into sin. You're going to find yourself in some unhealthy places, doing some unhealthy things. And so he says, listen, you know, and since you know, you're accountable to that. And by the way, those of us who call Jesus Lord and Savior, we know who God is. And therefore, because we know who God is, we are accountable to him. You can't say, I know God, I love God, I follow God, and not be accountable to what God says and calls you to do. Because if you don't, then you're just sinning. You're just lying with your lips. And so this is really an interesting passage, because I think that everybody could find themselves in this passage. I think that everybody, myself included, probably you, Mark, mm-hmm. we have all made plans. We have all thought about, worried about, made lists about, and planned for tomorrow. And many times we've done that without ever seeking first God's kingdom, without ever thinking, you know, what if I don't make it to tomorrow? What am I going to do today? What's going to be the thing that I did last today? One very practical thing that I think is important when we talk about this is that oftentimes in our relationships, we are in such a hurry that we come and we go very carelessly. And I've done this many times. You're in a hurry, you're busy, you run out of the house. Imagine that you run out of the house, and the last thing that your spouse or your loved one, your children, whatever it was, the last thing that they saw of you was you running out of the house more worried about everything else than about them. And then contrast that with the fact of you leaving the house and pausing and saying, hey, I got to run out and go do this. But, you know, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I love you. And that is making the most of what you're doing right now, doing the right thing right now. I've oftentimes left and run out, you know, gone to run an errand or that, and forgotten to tell my wife, hey, I love you, give her a kiss, and then thought, you know, what if that was the last interaction we had? Wouldn't I want the last time that I, the last moment that I spent with her to be where I gave her a kiss and told her I loved her? And what a gift later on that would be to her, or what a gift that would be to me if she, if the same for me, knowing that the last time that, that her and I spent together was not her going, I got to get to the grocery store, leave me alone. You know, her, instead her saying, I love you, and giving me a kiss, and then me saying, me being able to hold on and to treasure that. I think that God wants us just to live, and he wants us to move, and he wants us to do, but I don't think he wants us to do those things at the cost of what is more important.
Yeah, Jason, I can speak on behalf of maybe all the listeners. You're meddling now. You're bringing conviction to us all. I'm sure we all can see points of easy application where we're falling short. And I wrote down three words, God's perspective, which would then set up our priorities for the day, the week, the month, the year. But then I added this last word, practicality. You're actually giving us some tangible things that we can think about or do. I think all of us can say, there were times I left angry because I had to get somewhere and I was running late and, you know, I didn't give the hug or the kiss or the encouraging word to a loved one, let alone all the other ramifications throughout our day that we do and fall short in. So, again, thank you, God, for his word, for this instruction manual, for also this love letter that encourages us, as James wanted to encourage these followers of Jesus and to keep our sights set on God the Father and the plan he has for us this very day. So instructive words for us all. Thank you for dividing it for us and giving examples, even personal ones, that will help us think this all through and find points of application for our lives. That's what's so great about God's Word. God is speaking, I'm sure, to many people in many different ways, pointing out many different things that we can do. And then it always reminds us, because we fall short, we don't do it right, that we need Jesus. Again, thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ that we can lean into, that forgives us of our sins, and that provides a path for us to know God as we know his Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, well, we thank God for his word. I thank God for you, Pastor Jason. I thank God for all the pastors that will be preaching up a message this Sunday. Get in church and be in prayer for your pastor as he seeks God's leading to lead us all in the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.